We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Knowledge. He said institutional
caught
knowledge.
Something into it's
like, excuse me, you didn't have to apologize to the Patriots on the air. Be careful. I just wanted to apologize for that mistake to them.
Dale Arnold.
Adam McQuaid is one of my favorite Bruins ever. I love this guy.
Rich Keefe.
Wait a second, Chief. Just get rid of me.
Okay. You stink.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
I was the one that made the call. It made no sense for me to send him out there for 10 pitches, 12 pitches, whatever it was.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I was actually appreciative of the somewhat subdued celebration on the part of the Red Sox last night. I honestly think some of the early celebrations. Oh, we clinched up!
Woo! Yes! Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of time to celebrate in baseball.
When you clinch a playoff spot on September 11th, good.
Yes.
You
know, good for you guys.
Kind of
surprised that they haven't done it sooner, to be honest. I mean, with the pace that they were on, and still are on.
Well, they're still.
Like the other day, we were talking
about. Win number 100 would be tonight if they pulled it off.
The magic number, I think now, is 9, right, for the division. But going into, because they won and the Yankees lost. So going into yesterday, it was 11. Didn't that seem like a lot for the kind of pace that they were on? But I guess it goes to show you that the Yankees are also having a pretty good season. It's just being dwarfed by what the Red Sox are doing. But yeah, I saw Rossi tweeted it from Dale Keefe, WEEI, like the Red Sox are going to the playoffs. I'm like, I thought they clinched like a month ago. it felt like
they sort of did.
No, exactly. But it took until last night for them to finally clinch a playoff spot. But that really wasn't the story of the game, though, Dale, was it?
No. First pitch of the game was a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. During the course of the 26 pitches he threw in the first inning, he also threw that 79-mile-an-hour, breaking pitch that, breaks right at your shoe tops.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch count was too high. I understand that. He's really only thrown one game since the end of July.
Right.
So I came out of it feeling okay. And when he didn't come out for a second inning, I thought exactly what Alex Cora said after the game. I'm going to send him out there to throw 14 pitches and then come get him.
You know what I thought.
Oh, I know. You thought he was done.
No. No, you promised me 2 innings and 40 pitches. We got 26.
No, you actually got them all. He went out to the bullpen.
Come on,
and then
Dale,
threw
please,
the rest
please.
Of
okay, anybody can throw a sim game. I'm talking about a real game, real action. And you're doing it against a AAA team, essentially, right? I mean, you might as well just go out there and get your work in against the Blue Jays. So I guess in reality, what really matters is how he feels today and tomorrow, right? Because that's what happened before.
Yeah.
This guy's already gone on the DL twice. For shoulder inflammation. And when he came back, remember he was mad. The goal all the way back to the first time Chris Sale went on the DL, he was upset about it. He had to miss a Yankee start. And we didn't know what was going on. Dave Dombrowski said it was the changeup on the grip on the slider. Chris Sale said that's not the case. Then he comes back, pitches really well, albeit for just 5 innings, and then has to go on the DL again. So did they figure out what it was? I don't know. So after just 1 inning of work last night, how does he feel today? Now, you said the first pitch was 97. I think his average velocity, though, on his fastballs was slightly down compared to what it normally is. He's been pumping gas this year.
Which, by the way, it should be.
You're
throwing one
expect.
Game in, right. in the last 7 weeks or whatever it is.
It's been a little bit of a while since we've seen Chris Sale. So that's not.
I was afraid he'd come out there and be like Pedro in the All-Star game, throwing hot gas to everybody he faced because he's all cranked
up. Because he's excited to be back in there.
And, he calmed down. That's better. 97 on the first fastball, and I'm saying, all right, he can still throw hard.
So he at most can get 3 more regular season starts. Like, if he just stays in the rotation where he's at, because they're down to, I believe, 17 games left in the regular season.
Right.
So 3 more turns. Don't you need to see him go, full, like, no, 100 pitches if it has to be, or set, like, shouldn't there be no restrictions at some point before the playoffs?
I'll be curious to see. I heard Lou talking about this yesterday. You know, what he was really hoping was to see 40 pitches last night, 70 pitches in the next one. You know, that third one is the one where you kind of take the training wheels off.
Yeah, then the
fourth one, you ratchet it back down, getting ready for the playoffs, and, you know, let's go get your work in and get yourself ready. But because he could only throw 26, realistically, how much do you think this next one is not going to be a training wheels off type of start?
No, that's my concern. Yeah. And so when you said, you know, he looked fine, like you expected some rust. It had been almost exactly a month. You know, his Baltimore start was August 12th. So it had been almost exactly a month since we had seen him on a major league mound. And so you say, all right, one inning, just getting some work in. Cora says, you know, 40 pitches was what it was going to be anyway. But after a 26-pitch first inning, we didn't want to have to, you know, he gets two outs, then he got to go to the bullpen there. So I get the thought process, but it does lead me to believe, all right, the next start is going to be similar. Maybe it's going to be another starter by committee. Maybe it's three innings. And you're like, okay, but pretty soon, I'm assuming he's starting game one of the ALDS. And the way things are going, you need him to go seven.
Maybe not.
Or
you
eight.
You know, maybe it will be Price. I don't know. You would assume it would be Sale. But the other positive I took out of last night's game, well, there were two. One is, you know, Nathan Eovaldi looked pretty good.
I was surprised.
He tired a bit in the fourth inning of work, gave up a couple of runs. But in those first three innings of work, he looked good.
Yeah, he did.
Because he's going to be coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs.
Right. I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour. You know, and if, as Eckersley was talking about last night, with those guys that get moved to the bullpen, if they're just thinking, now last night he goes 3 2/3. And so the way they were using him last night, I would assume it's going to be very different than how they would use him in the playoffs. So if he goes out there with the mindset that I need to get three outs or maybe six outs, you know, and not playing for a full game, maybe he'll be a little bit better. Because we've seen him look really good and we've seen him look terrible. Like, yep. There hasn't been a whole lot of in between. Maybe last night,
not a lot of gray area, right?
No, I mean, it really hasn't been a whole lot. So, Because he's probably on the fringe of even being on the playoff roster. Like, I think you need to figure out who's healthy, who's available to you, and a couple of those last bullpen spots are probably up for grabs. And he'd be one of those guys on that list.
I think he'll be there. I think he will be a bullpen arm. I think Steven Wright's going to be another interesting case for me.
Yeah.
One of the things Alex Cora said yesterday was that they're going to get him into some games with runners on base between now and the end of the regular season. See how it goes. See what it's like. You know, it's like when, you know, Tim Wakefield was the closer for the Red Sox type of thing.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, I didn't like that part. And they're not using Stephen Wright as a closer.
Right.
But you might want to bring him into an inning with a runner on second base or something. And how does he handle that? I think that's smart, intelligent pre-planning by Cora. Let's see how it goes. Let's see if we can get him ready for that, too.
Well, I also think this offense gives you the opportunity that you might have some high-scoring playoff games. And we've seen where the rotation the last couple of years has not gone very deep into games. And that's maybe where Wright or Eovaldi comes into play. And you don't want to rely on those
guys. Some guy who can give you multiple innings.
Yeah, because what if it's 5-5 after two innings or three innings? Like, Cora might pull the starter there, no matter who it is. And you got to find a way to get late into the game. And maybe that's where Steven Wright, which is a completely different look than anything else that they have, maybe that's where he comes into play. But I still go back to Chris Sale and whether or not he's healthy enough to be the guy. Can he be Josh Beckett or John Lester or whoever? Can he be that horse in the playoffs? And so this is a start. I mean, at least he's back, but he's got a ways to go, clearly.
The other thing that I just got a kick out of, if I had asked you before last night or in the aftermath of last night's game, you know, who's the only player in Red Sox history to hit two go-ahead pinch-hit home runs in a season?
Matt Stairs.
How many guesses would you have had to get before you got to Brock Holt?
100. I would have needed all the guesses.
A thousand guesses.
I would have needed all the guesses.
And I loved the whole scenario where Mitch Moreland is going up to the on-deck circle. Alex Cora changes his mind, calls him back. You could see him in the dugout kind of explaining things to Moreland. And it's the sort of thing, it's one of those unwritten rules, you know, you don't bring a guy back from the on-deck circle.
Right, kind of shame him is what you're doing there. Like, you know what, you're definitely going to strike out, so why don't you grab some pine.
Come on back, you come on back. Brock, you could see Brock, like, scrambling.
He's apparently like, what?
He was down in the cage taking hacks down there. And
staying ready.
He's trying
staying
to find
focused.
His shin guard and find his helmet. And all he does is come up and put one, you know, into the second row in right field.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
And the reaction of the teammates, I just got a kick out of it, in addition to the fact that it helped them clinch a playoff spot.
They were very excited. You know, we joke around sometimes, decisions I make and I don't make, you know, we have that trust, you know, and we have, you know, they can get on me and make fun of me and the same way I make fun of them, you know, but it was just one of those that I felt that it was the right move there. You know, I didn't want to put Mitch in a bad spot, you know, against a lefty. I trust him, but I do feel that, you know, if they bring the lefty, having Brandon up, it was better. So we went with Brock and it worked.
His percentage on like these gut calls this year is through the roof.
It's like 95%.
It really is,
it
isn't it? Like everything he does. And Farrell was the opposite. And a lot of it is luck. Like as much as we got on him,
sure,
for it, but
mean,
a lot of
look,
it was
how
luck.
How often? Look, Brock Holt's now done it twice in a year.
Right.
Hit a go ahead pinch hit home run. It's like, really?
And there have been times where Cora has, you know, pinch hit a certain player and you're like, this guy? Like, you
or
get
started
on
a
the
guy.
Bed, or started a guy. And you're like, what are you starting him for? And then he has three hits in the game or whatever it is. Certain lineup changes that he has made. It seems like it has worked out for him. And that's the kind of thing you need to play out in the postseason also. Like, some of those games are so close that it comes down to sort of a fluke kind of play or some kind of lucky deal. And if the Red Sox get that, then they're going to be in pretty good shape.
Brock Holt has four home runs this year.
Yeah.
Two of them have been pinch hit, go-ahead home runs. He had the one in Philadelphia a few weeks ago.
Right.
And the one last night. Two of his four grand total of home runs.
Well, keep him on the bench. Then, you know, put him in late in the game and pinch hit him. I mean, who would have think that he'd be a pinch-hitting weapon? I certainly would not be. But, yeah, I mean,
but you're also in the position. You talked about this. You know, it feels like the playoff spot's been clinched for a month now.
Forever.
And realistically, it has been. You had to make it official, which they did last night. But it has allowed Alex Cora to do some very interesting things lineup-wise. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until I read this recently, Craig Kimbrell has only pitched 11 times in the last 43 days.
Wow. Yeah, and because remember for a while there, he had a stretch. I want to say off the top of my head, it was six or seven appearances. And within that, he got four outs like three or four times, which he didn't really do a whole lot.
Right.
It was really spaced out a year ago. And I think what he was just doing was seeing how Kimbrel would react to it. Now, a lot of the game situations called for it, and they just so happened to be in games where they needed to protect a close game in the eighth, and you know the way their bullpen was at that time, they needed to rely on it. But they tried that out. I think Cora wanted to see if it would work, and then they've really backed down from that. And so like he's done with the starting pitchers, he's really done the same thing for Kimbrel.
He's thrown 11 times in the last 43 days. It's not a coincidence that the four hardest pitches he's thrown all season were in Sunday's game.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He hits 100 with four different pitches. The four hardest pitches he's thrown all year come in Sunday's game against the Astros because guess what? He's feeling pretty good physically right now.
Yeah, and that is obviously a huge key and maybe an issue that the team had, I don't know, maybe the last 2 years when they've gone into the playoffs and they've had guys go out there and the starters were just taxed. The bullpen was kind of was spent. And then you're going up against a lineup like Houston's or a lineup like Cleveland's. And they just didn't have enough left in the tank. And this year definitely feels different. Now, one thing I will say about that is Chris Sale, they've done a nice job managing his pitch count and innings. And yet we're where we are right now, right? He had one start in the month of August. So as far as that's concerned, we don't know if that's going to work. And in fact, he's missed more starts this year than last year. It'll all be figured out once we get to the playoffs and see how he does there.
And this comes from the book of God, Please Don't Make Me Love You. But David Price talking to Rob Bradford last night, and I felt like he was talking to you, Rich.
You think me specifically?
He was talking to you.
Well, he has been lights out since we had him on the program.
So and we did turn around his season.
I think so.
So here's Bradford's Q&A with David Price last night. He starts out with, what part of this season do you take the most satisfaction in? Price. Getting a chance to set the win record for the history of baseball. Question.
Wait, how, what? Hold on.
No, the season, what yeah. part of this season so far?
Oh, so far, okay.
Do you take the most satisfaction in
got it,
getting
got
a
it.
Chance to set the win record for the history of baseball? Question. How about as an individual? Price. I don't worry about individual stuff. Then he goes on to say, this is for you, Rich.
Okay, let's hear it.
I could go 35-0 in the regular season with a zero ERA and it wouldn't matter. I need to win in October. That's that. Regular season means nothing for me.
This guy gets it. I've always said that about David Price. He gets it. He knows what it means to pitch in Boston. Where has that been? Where has that been for the last 3 years? Like, this guy, his introductory press conference with the Red Sox, he was talking about how opening day and the playoffs are like the same thing. And you're like, what? Like, what is he talking about? And then all the other nonsense that we've put up with for the last 2.5 years. And then now it seems like it's clicked in. Like, it is. It is. And it's kind of unfortunate that it's even gotten to that, because he is a really good pitcher. But it only matters what he does in the playoffs. And he's right. And I'm glad that he even said that. It's true. If he went 35-0 with a 0 ERA, it'd be the greatest single season in the history of baseball. But if he got shelled in the postseason, everybody would be saying, are you kidding me with this guy? And so he knows that. And my one fear would be he's saying it, so there's going to be a lot. He's going to once again put a lot of pressure on himself in the playoffs, and he has not responded well to that in the past.
Yeah, Fortnite.
He also told Mass Live, and I'm quoting again now because this is right from the book of, you know, Don't Make Me Love You.
Okay.
He was asked about opting out of his contract.
Which I still kind of want him to do.
I know. Yep. He told Mass Live Sports, quote,
I'm allergic to dogs.
No, that's not what he said. Quote.
Cats.
No. Are you done?
No, he's got a lot more.
Well, he can wait. He can hold off for a minute. Quote.
Fresh cut grass.
I'm going to hit you so hard, your house pets are going to hurt. And you only have one.
Lost his cat. His poor cat. Leave his cat alone, would you?
Why would I leave here to go to a team that's not as good as this team? I came here to win. I don't worry about all the other stuff. We're going to have a really good chance to do that, unquote.
Not mentioned in there is nobody's going to pay me as much money as the Red Sox are going to pay me, which it's just a good business decision. I can't fault him for that. He's making more money here, but he's saying all the right things, Dale. And this is the problem. Is he just trying to suck us in? Is he trying
to sucking you in, isn't he?
A little bit.
He's got you.
Well, no, he'll get me if he pitches well in the playoffs. That's all he has to do. He can even sound like an idiot. He can even talk about fresh cut grass and Fortnite if he wins in the playoffs. Then you say, all right, fine. That's what you get. So right now he's saying the right things. He's pitching pretty well. Now, I know he wasn't good against the Marlins a couple starts ago, but he's turned things around a little bit. Now let's just see what he can do. He's healthy, and if he can lead them in the postseason, people are going to forget all about the first couple of years.
I came here to win.
All right, if you say so.
And tonight, if he wins, the Red Sox win their 100th game of the year.
Yeah. And they get that much closer to clinching the division, which they have not yet, even though it feels like they did
forever ago.
Feels
like they did a long time.
They have a 9-game lead. But I think the magic number is at 9. So
yeah, I think the Yankees got nipped like 11-1 last night.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's like, just get to the playoffs now. I'm there. I mean, I think a lot of people have been there for a while. Like, you can still enjoy the games. There's still a lot to watch. You know, Sale last night for, you know, you blink, you'll miss it. But Price tonight, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts every night. But I'm ready for the postseason.
I will insert one quick football note here we open up the lines and invite you guys to join us. Per Chris Mortensen.
The Mort Report? I don't trust it already, Dale.
Josh Allen will start Sunday for the Bills.
Well, yeah, they're not going to go back to Peterman, are they?
The last 2 days, I haven't made a decision yet.
But that sums up the Bills. Like, what a franchise. So Josh Allen is not ready to start. You saw Nathan Peterman last year throw 5.5 interceptions. You acquired A.J. McCarron in the offseason. So what do you do before the season starts? You trade away A.J. McCarron. You start Nathan Peterman because Josh Allen isn't ready. You don't want to ruin Josh Allen. Nathan Peterman plays like Nathan Peterman, so you have to bench him at the half of the first game and put in Josh Allen, and so now Allen starts week 2. Is he ready? Was it that half of football that got him ready to go?
That changed everything around.
They're screwed. They really are. Like, forget it.
Peterman threw for 24 yards and 2 interceptions and a half of football.
24 yards. 20.
And they still weren't sure who was going to start.
And they're like, I don't know. Well, that's because they don't want to start Josh Allen. He's not ready. We got to get the story with A.J. McCarron. Why didn't you just keep him? Couldn't he start for them?
He was 5 of 18.
5 of 18? Are you kidding me?
You could go 5 of 18.
I definitely could.
Because you can throw the ball 50 yards.
It's a modified K-gun offense named after Rich Keefe.
By the way, and Rob Ninkovich claimed he could throw it further than you.
He did well. He's
a linebacker.
He was a professional athlete,
defensive
though.
End for it's, crying out loud.
Yeah, I wanted to question him on that, but you never know. Some of those guys that they're deceivingly athletic, and I know he would say he's heard that his whole career. But some of those guys, like you see, like J.J. Watt throw balls into the crowd, he's got a cannon. So Ninkovich maybe could throw at 60. I could not throw at 60.
Chris Hogan kind of did that sidearm throw into the stands last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can like turn into
two.
Yeah, you fire from short. You can do that.
That's what it almost looked like.
But, yeah, the Bills. Holy smokes. And so they got to be even more upset, too, because they're looking at the Jets, and they're like, so they drafted a guy who's good, finally. They're still in the division with the Patriots. And then the Bills. Just a dump.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will join us. I know we said 11:30. Are we positive about that?
We just got off the phone. Looks like we're going to have to do it after because Belichick will be talking at 11:30.
Okay.
He'll be there with him, so maybe noon. Soft hold on noon.
Not noon
soft
30. Noon.
Not noon 30. We have
warm,
to bump him for
a warm
noon.
Take for noon.
But that's good. He can recap what Belichick said. Perfect.
He'll be there. So.
All right.
So Tom E. Curran will join us probably just after 12 o'clock. We'll open up the lines and talk some baseball with you guys to start as you've clinched a playoff spot. David Price is saying all the right things, and oh, my God.
What is happening?
Cats and dogs are sleeping together.
Only one inning for sale, though, Dale. Reason for concern.
No, the other inning was out in the bullpen.
That does not count. I threw 20 innings last night out of the bullpen. What does it matter?
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Yeah, I thought it was a high leverage. You know, like, he had to pitch from the get-go. He hasn't pitched in a while, so it made no sense for me. I was the one to make the call. It made no sense for me to send him out there for 10 pitches, 12 pitches, whatever it was. So we're taking care of the guy. You know, his mechanics weren't there. You know, he's like, kind of like he, you know, the speed of the game, this is a big news, you know, and he hasn't pitched in a while. And Gurriel hits a double, and then he has to pitch, so I decided to take him out, and then he finished in the bullpen.
See, I actually agreed with him. Again, I know we've said that a lot this year. He gave his reasons why he did he did. And you go, all right.
He had a reason for it. I don't feel great about it. And it's because, and a lot of it has to do with how does he feel today? Like, what's going to go on there? But what's the next start mean? I don't think you go from 26 pitches to 86, 100 pitches. Like, maybe you do. I doubt it.
I think realistically they're going to look at like 50, 60.
Yeah, okay, and then you have another
start. And
then
that third start is the take the training wheels off.
The last time he threw 100 pitches in a major league game was July 27th. So that's why I am nervous as hell as it relates to Chris Sale, who's been on the DL twice with shoulder inflammation, had one start in the month of August, and has only had one start so far here in September, and it was for 26 pitches. And this is the guy that I think is the most important player to them in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Okay.
Well, let's hear from Chris Sale after the game and not being able to go beyond the first inning.
Good. Really good. A little erratic, obviously. Drove my pitch count up a little bit, which is why I didn't get to go out for my second or third inning. But, got some good work in and move on from there.
So he seems
felt good.
He seems optimistic about it.
Yeah, usually what happens is if they're not feeling so good physically, you don't see them.
No.
Or hear from them. Or
Sale can kind of let you know, too. Like when he went, going back to when he went on the DL, like you could tell he was pretty frustrated with that. So he was a little, as he said, in his own words, a little erratic. You know, he did 26 pitches, 14 for strikes. He had two strikeouts, gave up one hit, no walks. And then that was it for him.
He actually felt that he had a reason for that as well because he thought he was maybe rushing a little bit.
I mean, I just trying to throw strikes. I mean, it's my first time back out there in a while. Sped up a little bit on me. I feel like I was kind of rushing a little bit. Kind of got out of some of the things that I need to do to stay on top of things. But, ended up getting out of it. Obviously relied on my bullpen a little bit more than I'd like to. But, we move on.
Relied on the bullpen. Yeah, 8 innings. Relied on the bullpen. Yeah, just a little bit. You're only going to go 2 anyway.
Well, and he actually talked about that. He obviously knew that they had a very strict pitch count.
Right.
He was only going to get to throw 40 pitches. He just didn't think it was going to be quite as short as it was.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that today was going to be an abbreviated start. I knew I was, 3 was best case scenario. I mean, even if I threw 5 pitches in each inning, I think I was only going to go out there for 3 most. So, I knowing that going in makes it a little bit easier, but, obviously only going out there for 1 inning kind of stunk. You know, I kind of had higher hopes than that, but, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
I'm with him. Kind of stunk. His words, kind of stunk. 1 inning, wanted to see a little bit more out of him.
And he wanted to see more out of it, too.
He did. I didn't know about this three innings. He said it could best be three innings. Well,
he said if he'd gone out and thrown two
five-pitch
innings, they had already told him, you were only going three at a max.
If anybody was going to throw three five-pitch innings,
he could,
it was probably Chris Sale. But, yeah, and now you just sort of have to wait and see. Like, what kind of reports do we get? What's his health like the rest of this week? And then what are the limitations on the next start? Like,
that kind of stunk. Yeah,
it kind of stunk. I'm with you.
Well, he also talked about, you know, the work that went into getting him to that point last night, you know, making only his second start really since the end of July.
Obviously, we've put in a lot of work, and I say we. You know, a lot of times people think it's just, you know, you sit out for a while and then you come back and start throwing, but there's a lot of work by a lot of people that went into this. Obviously, the training staff went out of their way and went above and beyond and really took care of me to get me back out there. And you know, players in this clubhouse picking me up when I was away, you know, still winning games, and people picking up my end of the slack. And, you know, it's a lot easier sitting in here watching these games when you're winning. It's never easy sitting in, you know, the dugout watching someone else do your job. But, you know, my guys picked me up there while I was out, and that I'm appreciative of that.
So it's a group effort.
All right, the team rolls on.
It takes a village,
and they can do. Oh, it does, Dale. But in the regular season, it can take a village. But in the postseason, it would take what? What would the analogy be there? A giant among men, whatever it be. It's gonna have to be Chris Sale in the playoffs. And even with David Price coming on strong, you say, all right, great. Pair those guys together. Like, that could be an advantage you have over other teams, because the teams you're going to be facing, Houston and Cleveland. Yeah, they got pretty good rotations, too. Like, they can match up with you. In fact, 1-3, they're probably better than the Red Sox are. And that's with a healthy Chris Sale. So, he is as important as it gets.
All right, so here's the question as I look at the numbers here right now.
I love numbers.
Strikeouts per nine inning. The American League leader is Chris Sale. War for pitchers, Chris Sale. Walks and hits per innings
you
pitched.
You a big war guy?
I'm just giving you
for
all
now, you are. Yeah, for now.
Walks and hits, whip is Chris Sale. Earned run average. Say it in English, Dale.
ERA?
Yeah. Chris Sale. Hits per nine innings. Chris Sale. I guess the question here is, if he leads in all of these categories, as he does, is he still a candidate to win the Cy Young because of the time that he's missed?
Candidate, yes. He won't win it. That's my prediction. He won't win it because two stats. Two stats. Thank you, Chris. Two stats that you mentioned there, or that you did not mention. One is not nearly as important as it used to be, but that would be wins, where his lower compared to some other guys. But what about innings pitched? I think that's what it's going to come down to, because normally Cy Young winners pitch 200 innings. Is that fair to say? I mean, 200-plus innings, I would say, including Chris Sale from a year ago. He has, you know, Trevor Bauer was on the DL for a long time. He has one more start and 19 more innings than Chris Sale does. You know, Blake Snell, who doesn't always go super deep into games, he has more innings pitched. Verlander, Kluber, these guys have significantly more innings pitched. So let's see what the next two starts look like. His ERA is amazing. His ERA is eye-popping. In the American League, to have an ERA under 2.
By the way, he's still third in strikeouts, despite all the time that he's missed.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I mean, you said strikeouts per nine, he's the best,
yeah,
right?
And strikeouts, Verlander leads with 258. Sale has 221. He's third.
But if Verlander's a good case because he had that real slump during the year. But even still, he has a 272 ERA, but he has 195 innings. Like, at some point, don't you have to reward the guy that has more innings? So I don't think he wins, but who knows? Maybe his last start of the year, he goes. But even then, so this is what's weird about it. So he has three starts potentially left. So the next start, you're going to throw him for
50-60.
Three innings, right? Three, four, somewhere in there.
Ballpark, yeah.
The start after that, maybe, is when you say, all right,
yep,
get after it. And then the last start of the season, I don't know, depending on what the day is and everything, you're going to probably line it up so he pitches game one of the playoffs. So that one, you're probably not going to get much out of him. He might only have one more start where he really goes after it. So I just think, it'll be tricky for him to win the Cy Young, despite how good the numbers are.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Seth is in Boston. Hey, Seth.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
So, you know, I think yesterday's performance is kind of just irrelevant for so many reasons. I mean, if it were a real DL stint, And certainly if it were earlier in the season, he'd have a rehab start. I mean, that's just rust. And, you know, I don't know if you guys remember Chris Sale when he was on the White Sox, but to say that he was a pretty fiery competitor, a pretty gross understatement, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, Seth, but I'll let you keep going. But to say it's irrelevant, like, I disagree with that because
all right, well,
even if it was a rehab start, you're talking about, all right, September 11th, and he has to throw a rehab start? Like, clearly he's not ready to go yet.
Let's rewind the clock to last year, right?
Okay.
Chris Sale, he was having a Pedro Martinez 1999 season, and then he hit a wall. He hit a brick wall so hard that he could barely pitch in September, and he was toast in October.
But he got those 300 strikeouts, though. Remember that? That was exciting.
Well, yeah, but who cares? Don't you want to ring?
I was being sarcastic. Right. Yes, go ahead.
Exactly. All right. Cool. Yeah, work on the sarcasm, man. Come on.
I will. I definitely will.
We're working on radio emojis.
Yes, I'm doing that as well.
That would help a lot. That'd be great. I think it's just very, very obvious, given, you know, this astronomical win total that the Red Sox have been piling up and piling up and piling up all season, that they imposed that DL stint on Chris Sale because the only way to prevent Chris Sale from blowing his arm up was to do that. You know, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with him, but I mean, you just got done rattling off all the stats. You know, I don't think this guy's rotator cuff suddenly ripped or something like that. I mean, it's pretty clear that this has been the plan. You know, there was probably a pretty complex algorithm. All right, we get to this many innings, got this many wins, we have this much of a division.
Yeah, but Seth, I feel like the plan
on the DL to rest him, and then we stretch him out in September, just like we would through a rehab stint. And he'll be plenty strong, and he'll have all the adrenaline. And I'm not saying it's a fait accompli that he goes in and pitches a complete game in the ALDS or anything like that. But I don't think that Chris Sale is the chief concern on this team
right now. I will say this. Dave Dombrowski told us at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon that if they were in the middle of a big pennant chase or something, Sale may well be out there throwing.
Right, but
I think they've been diminished returns
later on.
Right, and I do think they have taken an abundance of caution because their record has allowed them to do this, to be extra careful. I mean, I don't know if there has to be any tough discussions with him about, you know, and him saying, well, I'm throwing away the Cy Young Award if I'm not out there, and them saying, yeah, that's not what we're worried about.
See, I don't think this was – I can't get on board with this was the plan all along because –
No, I just think that they're allowed to be more careful now.
They can definitely be more careful, but you don't have them miss a Yankee start a couple of months ago when it was actually a little – or a month ago, whenever it was, even when it was a little bit closer than it is now. He wouldn't have missed that game. And then you don't bring him back for a start and then put him back on the DL. Like, that, I think, pokes holes in the theory of, oh, they're just resting him. Like, yeah, they're definitely trying to make sure he's still ready to go and he's healthy enough and has bullets left or however you want to say it come playoff time. But I don't think this is this grand conspiracy. I do think there is something up with the shoulder.
No, I think there is. I don't think it's major. I think that, you know, because they've got such a big lead, they're able to say, you know what, let's just be 1,000% sure. Go out and just throw 26 pitches tonight. That's all I need from you. You know, do your work between now and your next start. Let's see where things stand. I want you feeling great when we get to the postseason.
Right.
And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter, @Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
I mean, we have the elimination game now, you know, so we know we're in great position to win the division and then to accomplish other things, but credit to them. I just told them, I'll tell the group I'm very proud of them. Regardless of what's going on around us, the winning streaks, the losing streaks, you know, we stay together. They've been very consistent as far as showing up every day and preparing for the game and playing the game. I'm very proud of them.
Kind of a subdued, I liked it, a little bit subdued celebration. Stephen Wright tweeted out a picture. Uh-oh. Is this like, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers doing live video in a post-game locker room?
I hope not.
No, Stephen Wright tweeted out a picture of just everybody holding their glass up in the air and just, you know,
nice.
A little toast.
Classy.
Very classy.
They're drinking champagne out of a glass? They didn't put the ski goggles on?
No, there was no ski goggles. Well, there was no division, plastic though. In front of the lockers.
I think when you win the division, and if you do it on a win, I think you can go nuts. Like, just making the playoffs, like, that's not.
Yeah.
Especially with the kind of season they were having. Or are having. Now, real quick, we're talking about Chris Sale and what his Cy Young hopes may or may not be still. He leads the league in a lot of categories still, even with just a couple of starts over the last month and a half. He has 147 innings pitched right now, and we think he probably has three starts left and one or maybe even two of them he's probably going to be pretty limited in. So I don't know how many innings he's going to end up with.
You're probably looking at like 15, 16 innings the rest of the season.
Yeah, so I mean, he might be at like 160. Mm-hmm. Like, he might end the season. So the last starter to win the Cy Young under 200 innings was actually not that long ago. It was 2014, Clayton Kershaw, but it was 198 point in a third. So like, that's round up, that's 200. Then you got to go back a long ways for a starter under 200 innings. 1994, David Cone. Now, that was also the strike year, though, right? Wasn't it? So I don't even know if they even play a whole season. So like, that one, like, you gotta throw over 200 innings. Like, that's just the way it goes. So I think he's got his work cut out for him. But if his ERA is under two, he's still gonna get a lot of votes. That's for sure.
617-779-7937. Fred's in Maryland. Hey, Fred.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Fred, we're great. What's going on?
Well, I got some real thoughts about all this. You know, we've got all these starting pitchers that are getting paid millions of dollars.
That's right.
And our relief pitchers haven't been doing extremely well. There's a couple, like Stephen Wright and Fraser and our closer. And, you know, periodically the guys are good, and they must be good enough to win 99 games.
Right.
But my thoughts are, if these guys are getting paid all these dollars, they took Porcello out the other night when he pitched 5.2 thirds of an inning because he was leading 5-2, and the relief pitchers give up runs to tie the game.
Right.
You know, why can't they pitch more innings to starting pitchers?
I think they're babied in their youth. I think that's what it is.
Hold on, I'm working on my radio sarcasm font here, Fred.
Yeah,
Fred, here's the deal, Fred. Okay,
babies.
You just in a way sort of hinted at it, but you didn't realize you did. They've got millions of dollars invested in these pitchers. They want to make sure that they can get millions of dollars worth of years out of them.
Right.
And they want to make sure that they keep them healthy. That's it. They got to keep them healthy.
Yeah, well, what about years ago when they were paying a lot of money?
They weren't paying anywhere near the same amount of money. And pitchers were different back then.
The owners are making millions of dollars today, or they wouldn't be paying these kinds of salaries.
That's right. I think you got to take it up at the youth level.
What are you doing?
No, I'm telling you, you can toughen these guys up. You know, Gaylord Perry, he'd throw a lot. Jim Palmer, Catfish Hunter, these guys would throw 300 plus innings.
If you're paying millions of dollars and they don't work out, go spend.
You want more on your investment, Fred? I'm with you, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to change right now. These guys are soft,
or ever.
They're soft.
It's just my thoughts.
I like it.
I don't think Fred suggested they were soft.
Well, they are.
He suggested they're making millions and millions of dollars. Oh. They should throw more innings.
Yeah.
Which is a dumb premise, because then all I'd have to do is pay you a whole bunch of money, and you'd be able to throw more innings, right?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's how they are. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know what year it was, but it was 100 pitches. That's the line. You throw over 100 pitches, uh-oh, your arm's going to fall off. It's how it is.
Blame Tony La Russa if you want. I mean, supposedly he was the architect of the modern bullpen. Blame whatever you want.
But there is something to that.
And I know this does sort of sound a little bit like the old Dick Raddatz argument on the radio station back in the day.
Yeah.
Yes, Fred, players were different back then. You know, Dick Raddatz would throw a four-inning save.
That was incredible.
Yes,
it was totally incredible.
They don't do that anymore, and they're not going back to it.
1968, Denny McClain went 31-6, threw 336 innings that year, Dale. Great year for him. ERA under two. Won the MVP to boot. Like, these guys, they just don't.
How did he do the year after?
Won the Cy Young again.
Did he?
Yeah, 325 innings.
Pretty good. Look, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Just
but
because
it really
you
is.
Wish that it would be true. I wish they'd throw more innings. Well, they're not going to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's how these pitchers are sort of developed now. It starts at a young age, and they just. They don't have it in them. Well, every once in a while you'll get a guy.
The other big difference here is, obviously, people are throwing the ball harder, way harder than they did back in the day.
That could be part of it.
I mean, you see, how many kids are getting Tommy John surgery in high school now?
All the time.
College. And you know, it's almost like in the pros, they almost want you to get Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, come back
stronger.
You'll
miss a year, but you'll be even better when you come back.
Like the kid from Rookie of the Year. You're even better.
Well, maybe
get
not
that surgery.
Kid,
well, he pitched the majors at a high level.
617-779-7937. Scott's in Eastham. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Scott.
What's up? Hey, no, a couple thoughts on a couple different things that you guys were talking about. I played pro ball in Europe in Turkey for 2 years.
Nice.
And I had Tommy John twice. And I agree that pitchers
Let me stop you right there, Scott. There's pro baseball in Turkey?
Yeah, man. It was nice.
Wow.
How many pro teams are there in Turkey?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I mean, let's just say I was the best kid on the team, and, you know, I was pretty decent in college, but I was...
What was the name of your team?
So it was Istanbul Ottomans.
Okay, all right. The story checks out. So, keep going.
Yeah, no, so I played out there, and I agree that pitchers are a little bit soft now.
Yeah.
I had Tommy John twice, but... still, I mean, if you look at any type of pitcher, I mean, Steven Strasburg, you know, my family grew up in D.C., and I'm a huge Nats fan, as well as a Sox fan. But,
sure.
You know, Steven Strasburg, they tried to shut him down, and, you know, you look at what happens. Whenever you see a guy, you know, like Ohtani, too, you know, put on 15, 30-day DL with an elbow strain, that's automatic Tommy John. I mean, I could have called that years ago. I mean, Hideki. When he played for the Yankees, too.
Oh, Arabu, yeah.
Yeah, he had a splitter. And,
right.
You know, the only thing that happens is Tommy John. So,
sure.
You know, I think, and especially with a shoulder, which a shoulder is a little bit different than an elbow. I mean, you guys can talk about coming back from Tommy John, and, yeah, they kind of push it on you, but it really is tough to get back from. But, you know, Sale right now with the shoulder, that's, you know, same thing with Pedro. When Pedro was back in the 90s, you know, as soon as that shoulder hits, you know, if you see a decline in just velocity.
Oh, yeah, you see it every time.
Down.
Every time.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Sale's maybe got 50 innings left there. Yeah.
So, this is a fun trivia question for you. What's the most innings you think Tommy John ever threw in a season?
Probably not that many.
276 and a third back in 1979 with the Yankees. And he was a 21-game winner. He was an all-star. And he finished, let's see. This computer's not working. He received votes in the Cy Young. So Tommy John had a nice career. He threw over 200 innings a pile of times. Nice pitcher.
See, now, while you were looking that up during that phone call,
I kind of spaced out there a little bit.
I was trying to look up professional baseball in Turkey. Good luck finding anything.
He plays for the Istanbul team.
Yeah, try looking that one up, too.
Is that
the Istanbul Ottoman? You know what you get a lot of images of? Ottomans! That's what you'll get.
Do you think he was pulling our leg a little bit?
I don't know.
Do you think he was pulling our leg?
Just
I hope not.
Saying,
I really hope not, sir.
You guys totally no-sold that blow up everything. It was like you knew it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, just like on to the next part. Like, yeah, that's fine.
I just pull the curtain back. It's like, I saw Dale. I can see like kind of your computer reflection. I'm like, okay, he's looking up something over there. Keith's looking up something. This guy's got to go. We just got
to
go.
Well, I was trying to find something about professional baseball in Turkey. There is a national team in Turkey, a national baseball team.
And they call the Ottomans?
No. And there doesn't seem to be any leagues.
Yeah, I think he was just having some fun with us. That's what that was.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.